Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. Beautiful. Welcome back.
Oh, welcome. Awkward silence.
No. Episode 6 now on buyer's edition of negotiation tactics. Loving this so far. What's today's on?
This is about how to win at auction.
Yeah. Surely people are going to look at this going... Your last episode, Kurt and Chris, you just spoke about having one price, having walk-away price. So surely auctions are just as simple as whoever's got the highest amount of money wins.
Chris, you cannot be more wrong, my dearest of friends.
But it is what I used to think. Before being in the industry, I definitely thought that. I just assumed, of course, whoever had the most amount of money. But how many times do you think you've had it where you've then learned that either buyers have recalculated their money and going, I could have more? Or even people have gone, I actually had more, but I was so put off by that person, I just assumed they had endless. I would say...
all the price has gone up because potentially the speed of an auction has been slow and people have been able to work out, oh, actually, I can go a bit more.
Yeah, true. Yeah, definitely. So multiple ways. So not as simple as having one price. And I do think if you had the 8 billion people in the world subscribing to us and watch last episode, then
what a goal.
What a goal. Gotta have aspirations. Number one podcast, number one real estate Sydney podcast with a real estate agent, buyer's agent in Sydney. Number one. if everyone had that, then or had that tip and worked with it, then that would be simple. But it's not the case.
But do you know what I would think? If people had that one tip about one price,
yep,
and they knew it, auctions would be done in less. I think all auctions would be done in less than
5 minutes. Well, and actually, nicely, sort of tails into. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. But I do believe speed kills and it thrills, baby.
Oh, let's get it going, Chrissy boy.
So, a simple thing is, auctions, people are emotional. Usually, the longer the auction goes, the more emotionally people link themselves with the potential. It's like having a lottery ticket, and the longer it takes for the numbers to drop, and you've had a few, you're sort of like, oh, I'm getting close.
The tension builds.
Yeah. And so I think if you're at auction and you know what you're doing, you're bidding with strength. So once you do start bidding, you may elect not to bid initially. Everyone's got their own thoughts on that. But once you start bidding, get in there, bid strong. And what does that do to other buyers? What would you think? Put your head
bidding,
in other buyers?
Bidding hard and bidding strong puts the other buyers under pressure. Maybe an analogy is might be two boxers in a ring, and one boxer comes in and they're just at it the whole time. For me, you know, I know might not be the greatest analogy, but one boxer's getting there, they're going at it, compared to the other boxer, which is kind of like just dancing around, not really doing their thing. The boxer that's in there working hard,
I'm sure there are those Muhammad Ali examples and so forth, but I'm sure statistically the boxer lands the most punches in the first one or two rounds, I would imagine, wins the fight.
Yes. Boxers, if you listen to it, please correct us.
Yeah, correct us, I'm sure.
Comment, subscribe, like.
Now, other side of it, so speed kills, speed wins, speed does win you auctions, and it just stops that emotion, which means that other buyers don't have time to recheck, recalculate things, and I think you provide you more of an opportunity to secure it in your budget or less than you ideally want to spend. On the other side, what do you see when people take time to bid? What typically happens at an auction when there's slower bidding?
Slower bidding, often there's a few things that can happen with the slower bidding. Sometimes it can completely slow down where you don't actually hit the reserve, and sometimes that will work in the agent's favor because then they know that they've still got interest with the buyers, and they're going to pick them apart individually in the bedroom, laundry, whatever room is needed.
Glad you added another room. It's in the bedroom.
Sounded
a bit Deadpoolish, but yeah.
Deadpool, great film. So you've got that option that if you slow it down too much and there's no buyer's agent, or even if there is buyer's agents in the room, like often agents can like that it slows down so much, maybe close to the reserve as well, and then you get picked apart one-on-one after as well.
I said to you, on the other side, let's say you've, offline, I said, provide an example. You've hit the reserve and you've still got 5 bidders and each of them are taking a long time to interject. you know, taking maybe 2 minutes or 3 minutes the next bid to go through. Frustrating because you're then going to hang around, but smile.
Oh, mate, underneath my caring skin about trying to get an extra $5,000 out of you, I am jumping for joy.
I'm like,
we've got it done. We've got that box ticked. We know the vendor's going to be happy because it's over their reserve.
The only thing, is, as you mentioned multiple times, is the... Have you ever had a scenario where you hit the reserve going forward and then the seller goes, actually, let's increase the reserve?
So I personally have not, but I have had...
Because it's possible, right?
It is. So I was going to say two things. I've had my boss, my senior, has actually happened to him.
Right.
Managed to work it out, luckily, because someone else somehow rocked up to the auction and hadn't seen all the kerfuffle that had gone on with the reserve getting raised. And bought it.
So you can imagine as a buyer, you're there, agent or auctioneer says, we're on the mark, we hit reserve, one or two bids go forward, and then the agent or auctioneer has to come in and say, actually, reserve's now changed, we're no longer there. Legally, that's fine, but as a buyer, that would be baffling.
Yeah, it's the one tip for the buyers, wouldn't worry about so much. Everyone always asks the reserve. The thing is, the reserve can change at any time, any moment, up or down. It happens all the time.
Yep.
Properties don't quite hit the reserve. The agents know this. They're not going to tell the audience out there, but they're having the conversation. Yep. We're having conversations being like, look, we might be 200 grand short of the thing, but they're already paying a pretty good price. They're being like, look, if we bring, and the auction's starting to slow, the agent would be like, let's bring the property on the market because that...
With a vendor's bid.
No, not with a vendor's bid. Announce the properties on the market, and that for us is like hoping that some buyers are then going to get reinvigorated to be like.
Oh, I've been at auctions before. I think it's crazy, but people are literally yelling out, "Is it on the market? Isn't the market?" And then eventually, it is on the market. What does that do? It puts pressure straight on that person because they've been asking.
Yep.
And quite often, what I see is they put one bid in, and another bid comes in, and they walk away. You're like, "Well, if you just had that one number, why did you bother?" So. Okay, so slowing down, let's move on. So you did before, you reached across, touched me on the shoulder and said, I just need another 5K.
Yeah.
I want you to put the mindset on. There are, I'm going to use the word just once, bully agents, but let's say assertive agents.
Assertive agents.
Kurt, I want to strip away how you conduct yourself, and I want you to talk to our audience, what are some of the assertive tactics agents do during an auction?
Well, Chris, first of all, you are rightfully pulling me up that I and my company also is a little bit different in terms of we try and be very respectful and stick very much to the, you know, the black and white, the rules, the laws, and just ethically. But there are, I understand when providing this podcast out, there are agents out there that go well beyond what I think I'd be comfortable with really doing. And yeah, whether that's right or wrong, but yeah, I'm happy to give some examples. So
go on, then we'll just say
we've been guiding a house somewhere in the Sydney for $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe we're at $1.9 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Be like, Chris, mate, we've been guiding $2 million. Mate, what are you doing? Come on, give me another 50,000. Have you got another 50,000, mate? Have you got another 50,000? See this number? Says, have you got any more? We've been speaking, mate. Come on. You want 25,000 more? Have you got 25,000 more?
And let's say I gave you a half a head nod right now.
Half a head nod? Is that you don't want a bit? I can do it for you, mate. Yeah, sweet. We got one here. Extra 25,000.
So those of you playing at home, right, and watching us on YouTube, Kurt has moved closer to me, had a notepad, had me directing my attention down to it, and basically using head nodding and words of, you know, you heard the words, pushing me towards it. It made me feel like I've got it when I should. And that proximity is a tactic. You see agents all the time break the personal space, get in front of you, make you feel like they're the whole world, that the world is going to crumble unless you do exactly what they say.
Now, how, if I was to do that myself, is... Nothing wrong with having a notepad. I've been having conversations with Chris during the campaign. I'd be like, hey, Chris, particularly sometimes in where people don't speak English. So if you're in a bit of an Asian market, for example, and the English might not be all right, then it generally helps. And might be like, hey, Chris, we're here. Have you got something more, mate?
Yep.
And generally then you can work out when, because sometimes you know the buyer has more and they've actually shown their interest in the product. You're like, Chris, mate, you've said you're interested in the property. Have you got, like, we're not quite, definitely, we're not even at our guide price yet. You've got something.
Yep.
And I might be like, hey, Chris, are you afraid to bid? I can bid on your behalf.
Yeah, that term gets used. Are you afraid to bid? Are you scared? Are you worried?
And then if you, and for me, when you give the genuine, being like, yeah, can you,
some think, indication.
I'll be like, we've got a bid over here. So yep. A respectful agent will do it in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
As I said, unfortunately, at the end of the day, I think we've spoken this slightly before, the agent is there to get the most money for the vendor.
Yep.
And if someone's rocked up to auction and don't have that professional, and yeah.
I've had before agents come up to me, literally take up my personal pay. I've had the top bid and literally be virtually screaming at me going, Chris, you're not going to get this price. It's not the reserve. And I've said to them, no problem. We can pass it in and we'll continue discussing after. And they've said to me, Chris, this is that opportunity right now to have that discussion. If we don't do so, I'm going to open it up. Now, luckily, as a seasoned buyer's agent, I look around and go, well, that's great if you want to open up, but I'm still the highest bid everyone here. I know that I'm actually important in this cog. But most buyers, I think at that time, they forget that they're important or they feel diminished. And I've seen them bid against themselves, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 against themselves. Later on, celebrating because they secured the property. But that tactic has, in essence, forced them over, because in some instances, it's below what the person would sell, it's below the reserve, and sometimes it's already above, and the agent's, rightly so, trying to get the maximum amount.
Yep.
But you as a buyer don't realise, actually, if I don't bid against myself, I've actually got this property secured, but I'm getting led to believe the push in the direction I need to continue forking out my cold, hard cash.
Mm. So just a little caveat on that is, sometimes you will need to bid against yourself to be able to secure the property, but generally that will be done in a way where you're probably taken away in a separate room, if it's genuine, not in front of an audience, to be like, look, we understand, Chris, you are the only buyer at the moment. We're not quite at the our vendor's price. We need to be here.
Yeah.
If you go and bid to this number or whatever number we work out, we'll go back out in the room. We'll knock an underhammer.
Yeah. Each their own. I do think slightly different in that case. I as a buyer's agent in particular, try not to ever get in a situation where I'm bidding against myself. And I've said to the agents, I'm just happy for let's move past the auction stage and let's get a deal done. I know some agents, they loathe that and will do everything in their power for that not to happen, because it's all also a perception of them in the industry. Everyone out there at the auction, is he or she feels like everyone out there is assessing whether they should use their services.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can go through back and forth. Certainly, but I think in essence, there are some of those assertive tactics that you need to prepare. Yes. And again, we talked in the last episode about having been professional in the Olympics.
Yep.
In that scenario, if you've done it 1,000 times, you can feel comfortable about it. First time you're doing it, it would be massively daunting.
Yeah.
Do you want the arsenal? You've got an Olympic question.
I've got an Olympic question. Three quick cues. Chris is coming at me today, but I did have one that I wanted to ask. So, Chris, if you had to qualify, you were told you would be competing in the Olympics in 4 years' time.
Right.
What is the sport of your choice?
What is the sport of my choice? I honestly have never really thought about it. God.
Well, so if you
can't, I feel like I'm going to disrespect any that I say. I'm going to be like, well, that's pretty disrespectful. The one I think about is discus.
Okay, didn't expect that.
I just feel like I can spin around and throw something far, but I probably can't.
No, that's right.
Good one. What about you? Well, actually, I'm going to throw it back to you. What would be yours?
Cycling,
no chance.
Or running, but we'll go cycling.
All right, I've got three quotes here.
Okay.
All right. Two of them said by Tom Panos.
Tom Panos.
Yeah. And one said by Phil Dunphy from Modern Family.
Okay.
And I want you to pick which one's which.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, be married to the process, not to the outcome. If you show enough houses, you learn all the tricks. Every agent is just a ninja in a blazer. Work ethic. Hustle beats talent when talent won't hustle.
The middle one is Phil Dumfries. Dumphy.
So if you show enough houses, you learn all the tricks.
Yeah.
Every agent is just, you have, ding, 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 you've got that correct, my friend. Well done.
Look, I have listened to a fair bit of Tom Penos, and the first one, the married one, I think, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard that one before.
Okay.
But no, I quite like that.
Something different.
That might be a bit of a new game.
Could be little quotes out there for industry experts. Well, that's it. Number 6.
Number 6 out of 8.
Part 2. Looking forward to the next one. Thank you for dropping by. As we often iterate, please like this. Give us a Google review or give us a review on whichever platform you're
Spotify,
on.
Spotify, Google.
And if you've got that one friend you could share with who's about to head to an auction, as this is very poignant, send this episode or send the podcast for them to review.
Perfect. Other than that, amazing. If you've got this far, have a fantastic day.
Thanks for dropping by.